Blog Talk Radio.
Shall we?
Hello, and welcome to Parents and PGCPS, Conversations for the Engaged Parent and Dedicated Educator. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Robinson. Parents and PGCPS, Conversations for the Engaged Parent and Dedicated Educator, sponsored by Force of the Rain Productions. Force of the Rain Productions is an educational first organization. Their mission is to expand the voices of the seldom heard in education, fair housing, parental and family engagement, academic research, the business of education, and civic involvement. Joining me today to discuss education, his view of education, is candidate for Maryland Delegate District 27A, Lynn Jackson. Over the past several weeks, I have embarked on a journey across Prince George's County's diverse communities to talk with parents, families, educators, community, and civic leaders regarding their views and perspectives about the future of education in Prince George's County. And Mr. Lynn Jackson, candidate for Maryland Delegate District 27A, has agreed to come on the show today. Mr. Jackson, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. Now, thank you for joining us on Parents and PGCPS, Conversations for the Engaged Parent and Dedicated Educator. I'm honored to have you on the show, and hopefully we have a great dialogue today about your views on education in the county. But before I do that, I'd like for you to share a little bit about your background with our listeners, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, definitely. Well, I grew up in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. I actually graduated from one of the schools of my district, Serrato High School, back in 2001. So I am from this area. I did 11 years in the United States Armed Forces. So I served in both the U.S. Air Force and in the Army, served overseas in Korea and Afghanistan. Since getting out of the military in 2014, I've actually been in law school and graduated this past year, in 2017. I am a big advocate of community service. I've volunteered with many different programs around the community to help kids. I'm a court-appointed special advocate, which means that I help mentor kids who are in foster care at the moment, who are going through some difficult times, and I provide a voice to the courts so that a judge or a magistrate can make a more informed decision regarding what's in the best interest of the child. So I've served my community, I've served my country, and now I'm looking to serve the community in District 27A in Maryland's House of Delegates.
Great. Impressive background to Jackson. So your advocacy, your involvement has been obviously on a community-based level. You know, and working with foster care children is certainly a admirable calling. What, why run, before we get into the heart of our conversation, which is education today, why run for District 27A? You're making an impact. It's not a political figure. Why have you looked to run for office, and why should those constituents in District 27A consider you for the candidate? Why should they vote for you? Why are you running, and why should they vote for you?
Well, I'll answer the second question first. They should vote for me because I'm the best person for the job. I'm from the area. I've grown up in the area. I've seen the lack of progress in the area. I've got a passion for the law, which is why I'm running to become a lawmaker in the General Assembly in Maryland. I understand the law, and more importantly, I understand how judges apply these laws that our General Assembly make towards everyday people like yourself and I when we find ourselves in court. So that's why I feel like I'm the best person to have the position. And I decided to run actually when I was in law school. I realized how difficult of a job that our courts and our judges and our magistrates have at just interpreting what our lawmakers are trying to say when they're trying to apply these different laws to the community and our neighbors when we're inside of the court system. So I think that I can make a huge difference there. I'm a big advocate of changing our criminal laws that we have in place. And as far as the penalties are concerned, I want to make changes there. And then also family law is something I have a passion for. I want to make huge changes when it comes to family law. So I can't do that as just a community advocate. I'm not a lobbyist. I don't want to go around lobbying lawmakers. I want to be in a position where I can actually make changes myself. Obviously, we have a republic or a democracy where we have to get other people to vote for these particular laws, but I'm very confident that I can get other lawmakers on board to enact some common sense changes in our state.
Great. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Robinson, and this is Parents and PGCPS, Conversations for the Engaged Parent and Dedicated Educator. This is an interactive show. We would love to hear from you. You can call in at 929-477-1767 with a question or a comment. Press 1. It places you in queue so we know you have a comment or question for us. Lynn, let's get straight into why have you on the show, and that's education. And you know education is very passionate. People are passionate about education in Prince George's County. And if you had any opportunity to watch any part of the school board yesterday, you saw a lot of that passion as the community were addressing a variety of concerns to the Board of Education. So
I've been to a few of those meetings. They are very passionate.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said I've been to a few of the meetings, and they are very passionate. You're right.
Very much so, very much so. So my first question to you is, what is your educational philosophy? What drives you, what molds you, what has informed the way you view education, in America, particularly in this county, then obviously in America, but what forms your educational philosophy?
I am purely about results, sir. I want to see results for our kids. I'm not about preaching different philosophies, liberal or conservative views. I want our kids to go to school to get results that, as parents, that we can see. And to me, that those results come in the form of SAT scores. They come in the form of ACT scores. They come in the form of math and English proficiency rates. They come in the form of graduation rates. So that's primarily, to me, that's the reason children come to our schools. They use our public schools as a stepping stone to take them into the next phase of their lives, which for high school students is going from being young adults to becoming go from being students to becoming young adults when they graduate. So, again, our public schools are just a means to an end, and it's a stepping stone for kids to get to where they want to get, whether it's undergraduate school, whether it's the military, whether it's a trade school. But I want our schools to just achieve results only. That's the only reason they go to school every day.
Absolutely. I want people to know who are listening to this show and who catch a rebroadcast of this show. This is actually part 2 of a conversation that you and I have already started. people can visit our website, www.forestoftherain.net, and in the search window, just type in Lynn Jackson, and you can see that Mr. Jackson has already responded to these questions in writing. So for a lot of this interview, it's just to get a greater detail as to what his thoughts are on those. But if you get a chance, you can visit the website, and you can review his comments in writing, and you can also hear a rebroadcast of this show on the website. And so just go to our website, www.forestoftherain.net, and in the search window, type in Lynn Jackson, and information will come up about our conversation yesterday, several days ago, in writing, and today's conversation. Mr. Jackson, as you know, our school board has had challenges, which many have suggested prevents the board from effectively leading one of the largest school districts in America. Please share your thoughts on the way the PGCPS board is currently operating. You've been to some of the board meetings, and you know how passionate they get. Many people believe that some of the infighting is preventing the school district leadership from effectively leading. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the infighting is an issue, but that's pretty common on many boards. A lot of the members have differences of opinions, and that's a good thing. You want people who have different opinions, so that is a concern as far as gathering together and actually being able to vote on different matters. But more importantly, I think a bigger concern for me with our Board of Education is they do not have a lot of power to make actual changes within our school. A lot of the authority that the PG County Board of Education previously had was actually given to our Chief Executive Office, Dr. Maxwell, back in 2013 when our General Assembly actually voted to approve House Bill 1107 of 2013, which I've talked to you about previously in our first part of the interview. So they don't have the ability to wield the authority that they have had previously. A lot of the authority comes now, or a lot of the authority has gone to the county chief executive officer, which I'll call a CEO from here on out. So if they don't have the ability to make some of these changes that a lot of parents and a lot of people that are showing up to these school board meetings have, then there's not a lot that they can do about it. I've spoken to a few members of the school board, and they feel like their hands are tied. And realistically, per the law, per the letter of the law, their hands are tied. I mean, our Board of Education has two primary responsibilities. One of them is, I believe, motivating parents, and I forget what the other one is off the top of my head, but they don't have a lot of power, and they don't have the ability to make these huge changes that our neighbors and I want.
So Anthony Muse, who's running for county executive, put a bill forth for an all-elected school board. Do you support his bill?
Yes, sir. I support a bill for Prince George's County having a fully elected school board. His bill actually got, I don't even believe it made it, the county delegation actually rejected the bill already, so that's something that's not going to happen within this legislative cycle. But with that said, I fully support a fully elected school board. I think that it's important for us as residents of Prince George's County to have the ability to make changes, and the way that we are able to make changes to our government is with the ability for us to vote on people who actually are tasked with making these changes within our school system. So the four members of the school board right now who are appointed are elected. Three of them are elected through our county executive, and one of them are rather appointed through our county executive, and one of them is appointed through the county council. I'm not in favor of that. I want for all of the members of the Board of Education, with the exception of the student, obviously, to be fully elected so that when the time comes for results to come in, when those average SAT scores come in, when those average ACT scores come in and parents are not happy, I want parents and our neighbors to be able to go, you know what, we're going to get somebody else in there to do the job and to do a better job. It's my belief that appointed members of any board really are not worried about the thoughts and the ideas of the community. But elected officials are. Why? Because these elected officials have to, if they want to retain their jobs, it's up to them to please voters. So appointed officials, their only worry is pleasing the people who have the power to appoint them. So it's important for us to go back to a fully elected school board, and that'll take a lot of the talk away from why our school is struggling, because now the power is now in the hands of the community, in the hands of our neighbors, in the hands of you and I to make these changes. And if we don't make the correct changes, then our schools will continue to suffer.
You mentioned in your written response that to some extent you did not have the you were losing confidence. What would it take? You're losing confidence in the school board, and I'm sure as probably losing confidence in how the school is governed. What would it take for this current administration, the current board makeup process, the current governing structure, to regain your confidence? And what would you do, if elected, to help establish confidence for others who feel the way you do?
Well, again, it gets back to what I said earlier. The Board of Education does not have a lot of power to make the changes that parents, voters, your neighbors, myself, you and I would like to see happen. They don't have the ability to do it, so we can put all the blame on them, but that's not going to get us far. Because by the letter of the law, they can only do so much. Again, a lot of the authority goes with Dr. Maxwell as the county CEO. I, once I become elected as the next state delegate in District 27A, one of the first things I'm going to do is work on amending House Bill 1107. I want to put a lot of the authority that our CEO has back into the hands of our Board of Education. I need for the Board of Education to be the entity, because of the fact that they're the ones that parents and voters go to when something's wrong. I need our Board of Education to be able to wield power such that they can make huge changes and quickly. It shouldn't take 4, 6, 8 years, because as we're speaking right now, our kids are going to school and they're the ones that are going to suffer from having a subpar education. So that's the first thing that I want to do. I want to make it a fully elected board, and I want to put the power that our CEO yields, a lot of the power that our CEO yields, to our Board of Education. Furthermore, I want our CEO to be accountable to our Board of Education. If it's up to me, actually, I want our Board of Education to actually elect the CEO. At present, the State Board of Education picks 3 nominees, and it's up to our county executive to elect them. But if it's up to me, I want our Board of Education to actually elect them, because the CEO should be accountable to our Board of Education. That's their bread and butter, so why shouldn't it be that way? I also want for our Board of Education to have 2-year terms. I mentioned that in our first part one of our interview. I think that with 2-year terms, again, if we're not seeing immediate results as voters, as constituents, as our community is looking at the results that are coming out, and we're not getting the results we want, we can immediately go, you know what, we're going to clean house in the next 2 years. We'll get people in who actually want to do a good job and actually can do a good job. So we can be as upset with the Board of Education as we like, but if you have limited power and you have limited authority to make certain decisions, then we're putting our energy in the wrong direction. County executive, the county CEO, rather, has the authority to make huge changes. And right now, the schools in my district are not seeing any great results. So that's where the onus needs to lie.
This is Parents and PGCPS Conversation for the Engaged Parent and Dedicated Educators, with a Q&A with Lynn Jackson, candidate from Maryland Delegate, District 27. You're welcome to call in if you have any questions or comments for the candidate for the Maryland Delegate, District 27, Mr. Lynn Jackson. Call-in number is 929-477-1767. You can follow us on Twitter at ANaturalBridge. You can follow me on Facebook at Dr. Mike Robinson, and submit your questions. And we do have a couple of questions from Facebook that we'd like to share with you later in the interview, Mr. Jackson. One of the things I want to get from you, so that those who are contemplating to whom to vote for in the delegate 27A race, is what are your plans to support public education in the county. Now, you mentioned that you're gonna, if elected, and when the next session comes around, you're going to be working hard to repeal HB 1107. Beyond the repealing of HB 1107, what else are your plans for education in the county, and how are you going to help those plans come to fruition?
Well, we elect state senators, we elect state delegates, and the only thing you see them doing with these titles, people don't realize that these titles yield great influence over the community. So once I become elected, one of the things that I'm going to do is host fundraisers in order to gain money for a program that I've been thinking about for quite a while, which is getting some of the students, some of the juniors and seniors in undergraduate school and the students in graduate school who are realizing that they don't have some of the high name letter of recommendations that a lot of employers or future schools want. I want to provide a program where we can get some of these students from Maryland's universities to come down to high schools and actually work with students who are actually not achieving their academic goals, who are very much so inspired to do so. And I think that when students can work with young adults who have been in the public school system like they have and who can provide mentorship to these students, I think that's going to provide a boost to the morale of these students. It's going to provide a boost to the grades, and it's going to be a good thing both ways around, because now these students will get a letter of recommendation from a state delegate. I also talked about trying to get our governor on board to sign letters of recommendation, which I'm sure that he or she will gladly do. So that's one of the things that I want to do. And then within my district, I have three schools that are primarily high schools, rather, that are in my district that I would like to be very much so involved with. I want to go down to these schools. I want to work with the kids at Surrattsville High School, which is where I graduated from back in 2001. I want to work with the kids at Gwynn Park. I want to work with the kids down at Thomas Stone in Charles County. So it's one of the things that I feel that is very important for public servants, is to show these kids that, hey, we actually care. We're here. You guys are seeing us. We're not something you just see in the newspaper. Where, you know, I'm seeing Delegate Jackson down at our schools every week. He's working with the kids. He's trying to motivate us. And then also money from the fundraising I was talking about a little bit earlier. I want to bring down some of these motivational speakers to not only motivate students, but to also help motivate parents to push their kids to strive for greatness, to strive for academic success, to shoot for the stars, to be great, to walk out of high school as if they have a purpose in life, to have a plan of success. And I think with all those things coming together, I'm not expecting miracles, but I do believe that if we can do all these things, we can get students from these universities to come mentor a lot of these high school kids who are not achieving their academic goals. If we can get motivational speakers out to motivate students, if we can motivate the parents to do this, and then if we can get a lot of the power that I spoke about earlier into the hands of our Board of Education and put them constantly on the hot seat, so that they know that if they are not doing what we need done, that they can be kicked out of their position every 2 years. I think that we're going to see a constant increase in our academic scores that we need, and I think you're going to see a difference in the culture of these schools. These students will be more motivated, they'll be more goal oriented, which has a big part of, I think, why a lot of these grades are not where a lot of these test scores are not where we want them to be.
No, you're hitting on a lot of points and subject matter that was very passionate about in yesterday's board meeting, or last night's board meeting. And I certainly want to get your thoughts on that, but I have some other questions for you as well, some that have come through Facebook and some who were posted to me prior to our interview, who knew you were coming on the show. But one of the things that developed over the past several days since we confirmed the interview was that the governor has suggested that a second state audit of PGCPS should be done, and it should focus into the wrongdoings or possible broken laws of the system. Do you support the idea of a second audit for PGCPS? And also, what are your thoughts on the governor being involved and trying to be involved or ancillarily involved in the what's happening here in Prince Edward County Public Schools?
The governor's getting involved is a good thing, and he's he's being involved almost because we're not hearing a lot from our county executive, who's the head of the executive branch of our county government. So our governor he's not doing anything special. He's listening to his citizens down here in Maryland. He's listening to the PG County residents, and he's going, okay, I'm not hearing anything from our county executive, so I'll speak up. All you have to do is open up a paper and you can read about a lot of the issues as far as academically and education wise that our county's having. And he's speaking up because there's an absence, and it's also an election year, so that may have something to do with it as well. But there's a lot absence of just guidance, and our county executive saying, hey, we're going to make some changes. I've quoted him as saying we're going to make some significant changes, and I'm paraphrasing, but if you're not sitting here telling voters what exactly these changes are going to be, people are scratching their head. And it's an opportunity for our governor to step in and actually say, hey, look, I'll lead you. If you don't want to get leadership from, if guy is not leading us, I'll step in and I'll provide leadership. So that's what our governor is doing. I fully support another audit. If it's up to me, I think the entirety of the government should be audited, not only when different issues are identified and when things are brought up, but I think we need to constantly audit our government, especially our public schools, to ensure that everybody's doing what they need to be doing. And if they got nothing to hide, an audit should not be a problem for anyone.
Mr. Jackson, how can parents, families, community play a role in moving education forward in Prince George's County? And how will you embrace and galvanize parents if you're elected to be active and advocate for quality education in the county?
Well, parents are the first line to motivating students to parents and guardians as well, to count them as well. But, yeah, they're the first line of motivation. They're the first line of inspiration for almost everyone. I'm sure your parents, my parents, motivated me to do well in school. I'm sure the same has gone for you as well, sir. So they're the first line of when they walk out the door, they kind of set the tempo for what the standards are academically.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of personally, again, it's incumbent on parents to get involved with voting for people who they believe are going to move the school systems in the right direction. And that kind of gets me back to the bill. I hate to keep going around in cycles, but I can't sit here and tell parents, hey, look, vote for this particular member on the Board of Education or that particular member of the Board of Education, when the members of the Board of Education don't have a lot of power to make these significant changes that our parents are proposing. So again, that's another reason that I need to get into our House of Delegates. So I'll make some changes with that, but right now, as far as what they can do in the present, just motivate their kids to do well. Be motivated for their kids. One of the things that each generation should inspire, or our parents should inspire for, is that our kids get better and better with each generation. That's one of the great joys of parenting, is seeing progress and having this expectation that they're going to do better than we've done. So parents can't vote for the county CEO. There's nothing they can do about who gets into that office outside of make recommendations to the county executive at the moment. So their hands are tied in that regard. But they can just be a motivational factor for kids, try to make sure that they set the standard, talk to our Board of Education, which they have been doing. But like I said, I believe that a lot of their energy is misplaced because there's not much. And I'm not talking about it's my opinion that it's not much, but per the law, it's not much without our Board of Education to do.
I am Dr. Mike Robinson, host of Parents and PGCPS, Conversations for the Engaged Parent and Dedicated Educator. Joining me on today's episode is Lynn Jackson, candidate for Maryland Delegate District 27. Mr. Jackson, one of the questions that I asked you earlier, before we had the live version of this interview, was How do you think the perception Prince George's County Public Schools is impacting property value of homes, new business and industry coming into the county? And what would you do to help improve the image if you think there is an issue with the image and improve the confidence in our school system that will keep property values high and serve as a carrot to bring in new business and industry?
Right. I believe, well, you know, the statistics have shown it. When schools are not performing well, people don't want to move into neighborhoods that, you know, are hosting underperforming schools. No one wants to relocate to a school where, for example, Surrattsville. Nobody wants to put their kid into a school where you have average SAT scores of 900, or when you have average ACT scores of 18, or when only 62% of the students are proficient in math, or only 68% of the students are proficient in English. People think twice before moving into that community. The old adage that birds of a feather flock together, I mean, as a parent, we have an influence, but you have to kind of shoot for center mass when you want to believe, hey, how's my, or you want to anticipate how my student or how my child is going to do in the school. You can look at the scores and you can go, you know, this school isn't doing too well, so why would I want to move into this area? And of course, that's going to have an effect on property values. That's going to have an effect on businesses, because business owners, they have to have a place to live as well, or they have to have a place to send their kids as well. So Maryland, as far as the nation is concerned, Maryland is ranked number one or number two, depending on where you look. But we've got very good public schools. So when it comes to bringing businesses into Prince George's County, we're not – the state, again, is looking very good, but the county, as far as how our the schools in our specific counties are doing, it doesn't look very well, especially when you can just go up the street to Montgomery County. You can go to Charles County. You can go to a lot of different places where schools are performing significantly better. The last time I checked, I've been using sources such as niche.com, schooldigger.com. Out of the 24 school districts, PG County is ranked 23rd. I think we're second to last only, I think, to Baltimore City or Baltimore County, one of the Baltimore area school districts. So if I'm a business owner and I have the ability to bring my business into the community, I'm looking at schools. And again, if the schools aren't performing well, then why would I want to bring my business there? Because we all want to ensure that our future generations are doing better. So you want to put them in a situation where you can reasonably expect good things academically. And if you can't expect that, then you don't want to buy a home out there. You don't want to bring your business out there. So at the end of the day, the thing that I really can do to affect that is, again, as a state delegate, we've spoken about the legislation that I plan to amend and some of the changes that I plan on enacting within that legislation. But as a member of the community and a public servant, again, I just need to be in the trenches with these students. I need to get into the schools. I need to mentor the kids in these different programs. I need to talk to these kids who don't think that education is the way to go for them. I need to look them in the eyes and to listen to what they have going on so I can go, okay, listen, we can help you out in this way or that way. But it's going to take a lot more than myself, and I understand that, which is why I've also, you know, got some things I want to do as far as motivating these kids and then bringing in some help as well. So there's only so much you can do as one person. But with that said, it is my responsibility as a public official to do that, and that's what I plan on doing.
Mr. Jackson, I want to thank you for coming on the show. We have a few questions and a little bit of time left, so I certainly do not want to neglect the questions that have come from one of our parent networks. It's Parents and PGCPS, an edu-social network for engaged parents and dedicated educators. And that Facebook group has nearly 1,000 members in it, and several questions came from that group, and I certainly want to make sure I get as many of those questions to you that came from the group. And one of the questions, and I'm going to take some liberty here as the host of the show and say that, you know, a magic wand has been waved, and now you are actually the representative of District 27A. You're the Maryland State Delegate of District 27A. So these questions I'm presenting to you are coming as if you are currently in that seat. So one of the questions was, you kind of answered this question, so I'm going to skip that one. But the next question is, if you are a sitting delegate, will you ask for the resignation of the appointed members? This comes from the network.
No, I will not ask for the resignation of any of the appointed members. And the reason why will make sense. First and foremost, the State Board of Education, with the approval of the governor, is the only authority that has the ability to actually remove members from our Board of Education. Me calling for the resignation of different members is going to do nothing but it's only thing it's going to do is create enemies for me. And those seats are still going to be there. So even if one of the appointed members resigns, that seat's going to be filled by someone else. So again, the name of the game is not just to keep repeating the process. The name of the game is to, and not to ask for resignations, but what I want to do is just eliminate the seats altogether. So no, I'm not asking for any resignations. That's not, you have to play by the letter of the law. So again, the way that I impact the community when it comes to people not being happy with appointed members or with the CEO, the way I make an impact is through our General Assembly approving laws that make changes. But asking for resignations is not going to do anything outside of make enemies.
The next question was, would you replace or ask for the resignation of the CEO of schools, Dr. Maxwell?
No, sir. I'm not asking for anyone's resignations. Again, the authority to appoint Dr. Maxwell rests with the county executive. That's his or her responsibility, depending on who wins this next election. So, again, that's not my role as a state delegate. That's not my job. My job is to concern my community best by shifting power from the chief executive office to our Board of Education. And once our neighbors have the ability to elect people who have the ability to make changes, then I think that we'll see improvements and very quickly. But me calling for resignations, that's not my role as a state delegate. That's like me, that's like me asking for the resignation of someone in Congress or something like that. That's not my role as a state delegate, so no, I'm not asking for resignations.
And finally, what criteria would you use or recommend to the county executive, to the county council, when it comes to the process of filling appointed positions such as the board chair, or even the CEO of schools? What type of criteria or qualifications would you like to see for appointed positions as relates to education in the county?
Well, I'll answer that question directly after I give you a quick rundown of what I actually want to see done. I want for the appointment of our chief executive officer to be the responsibility of the Board of Education. So that's one. I want them to be able to elect the best person for the job. Well, some of the things that I want to look for is, has that candidate actually attended PG County schools? Did they, how long has it been since they've been in these schools? There's a perception, there's an image that a lot of people have about our schools, but none of them actually have attended these schools. They actually haven't been in these schools. They haven't walked through the hallways. So to me, that's something that's important, because when you know the culture, rather than just reading about what people think and people think how things are in the schools, when you actually have firsthand knowledge of it, it makes a difference. So I want for people to get the role who actually have walked through the hallways and actually have attended PG County public schools. I want them to be younger, so that they have a little bit newer information regarding how the culture of the schools are. I think that's important. Obviously, we want to look at the credentials, the education, what have they done, what are their goals, and then most importantly, what's their vision for turning around the education in our public schools? What's the end goal? What do they foresee? I think that's very important, and I think those are the criteria that anyone who has the ability to select our CEO and our board members should look at.
Lynn, you mentioned vision, and I think this is a perfect segue to wrapping up the interview. Share with us one more time your vision for our school system, and how do you see, share your vision for our school system, and how would you challenge existing civic leaders and community leaders to embrace your vision?
My vision is for me to be able to look at statistics and notice a upward trend in academic results. That's primary. I want to be able to look at a piece of paper and go, okay, ACT scores are on the rise. I want to be able to look at a piece of paper and go, SAT scores are on the rise. Our English and math proficiency rates are on the rise. Our graduation rates are on the rise. That's important because we can talk about all these different results, and we could talk about how, you know, throwing money at these problems are going to be able to provide solutions. But we as voters, as elected officials, we should be able to present hard evidence of improvements, and we should be able to say, "Hey, look, we're making changes." So that's important. That's one part of the vision that I have. I also think that I want to change the culture within a lot of the schools, and I'm speaking specifically about the schools in my district, the Surrattsville, Gwynn Park, Thomas Stone. I want to be able to change the culture within these schools so that these kids, when they graduate, they're prepared to face the world that they live in. I'm not a big fan of exposing kids to different ideals and different philosophies. It's my opinion that kids should need to be equipped with the realities of the world that they live in at present. If you want to be successful in the arena, you have to know the rules of the arena. And, you know, not going in there with – you shouldn't be going into the world as an adult after graduating from high school with some skewed reality about what you're going to face as an adult, because it's tough out here as an adult, as you know. So I want to get into the trenches, and I want to change the culture and change the realities and change to what a lot of these kids are listening to about the world that they're going to have to face as adults. My vision is for these kids to have a dream when they're walking out of high school, when they're getting the diploma and they're getting ready to face the world as young adults. I want them to have a dream. I want for them to go, hey, listen, I'm going to be the next big star. I want to be, you know, the next astronaut that goes to the moon, or I want to be the next, you know, great fighter pilot, or whatever it is that they want to do. And you can pick. There's a lot of different career fields. I want to be a good plumber. I want to be a good mechanic. I want to be a good construction worker. Whatever the case may be, I want for them to have a plan. I want to have a vision, and I want for our kids to understand that their education is a means to get them to where they want to go. It's a stepping stone. There's a lot of times where both you and I are doing things that we don't want to do, but we do them because they're going to get us to where we want to go. So that's something I think we need to instill in our kids. So that's part of my vision. And then as far as your question about what elected officials can do, again, when you have the title of state delegate, when you have the title of state senator, or you know, even federal, being a Congress member, part of your responsibility is to motivate these kids. And you can't do that when you're just walking into these schools, signing up the kids who are just now old enough to vote, signing them up to vote, and then leaving and not doing anything else. You have to get in there. You have to talk to them. You have to listen first and foremost. You have to identify different issues, and then you have to start working on solutions for these kids. You have to show them that, hey, you can. It doesn't matter at the moment where you're at, but what matters is what you dream of achieving and then your plan of how you plan on getting there. So our elected officials need to be in the trenches. By going to these schools, they're going to see some things, some reality checks are going to come forth. They're going to see some things that they didn't believe was was reality. They're going to hear some things that they're not going to like, but that's part of dealing with kids, and that's something that, again, as an elected official, I plan on doing.
Mr. Jackson, I want to thank you. Honestly, I really want to thank you for taking time out of your day to come on Parents and PGCPS Conversations for the Engaged Parent and Dedicated Educator to share your views, your perspectives, and your vision for education in Prince George's County. It's on the record, so now that people can always play this conversation back, visit our website, see your written responses to these questions. So you may have given fodder for your opponents if you're not consistent, but I want to thank you for sharing your views. Now, there are people who are listening to this conversation, and they may want to follow up with you. They may want to join your campaign. They may want to question some of the things that you said. So I want you to end our conversation with two things: sharing your contact information. I'm going to give you last minute or so to share with the voters, listeners, because, quite frankly, there may be people listening to this conversation who may not be in your district, but who may have family members in your district who may say, hey, I just heard a conversation from candidate Lynn Jackson. I think you should give them some consideration. So you're speaking to the entire county because, you know, we're all connected, obviously. So I'm going to give you a last minute after you give your contact information to share with our listeners, potential voters, why you are the best candidate for Maryland Delegate District 27A. So share your contact information and then tell us why we should consider you for that position.
Well, thank you first and foremost for having me on the show, sir. I do appreciate it, and I appreciate your listeners tuning in. My Facebook page, you can find me at Facebook at Jackson4, as in the number 4, and then MD. That's Jackson4MD. I'm also on Twitter at Lynn.Jackson27A. And I'm also on Instagram at Jackson4MD, the same way as my username is with the Facebook page. So again, thank you for having me on your show, sir. I know for a fact that I am the best person for the position. I'm from the area. I've seen a lack of development in my district. I've seen a lack of progress with our schools. I've been to our schools. I've been in our schools. I've listened to our students. I am a law school graduate, so I understand the law. I understand how laws will apply to everyday people like you and I. I want to make significant changes regarding how criminal laws are adjudicated, and I want to look over all the penalties for a lot of the criminal laws that we have in place. I also want to make significant changes to our family court systems as well. We've got a lot of practices and procedures that are outdated, and I want to bring our practices and procedures within our family courts into the 21st century. So I'm the only candidate who's not asking for campaign contributions. I tell everyone in my district, don't give a dime to anyone who's asking to become an elected official. Save your money, invest it in whatever it is that you feel like you need to invest it into. I've given you my views on education, and I think that I'm the only candidate running in 27A that actually graduated in our district and actually has spent the time that I've spent in my district. And again, I'm a huge public servant as is. I have volunteered at Southern Maryland Hospital off of Surratt's Road at MedStar. I'm a court-appointed special advocate. I work hard for the community, and I don't get paid a dime for it. So I believe in public service, and I believe in making change, and I know how to make changes as a lawmaker. So that's why I am the best person for the job, and that's why I will win the election here in 2018 to be Maryland's next state delegate.
Mr. Jackson, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, your campaigning, to join us here on Parents and PGCPS Conversation for the Engaged Parent and Dedicated Educator. It's been a wonderful opportunity to talk with you. I look forward to future conversations And at any time, feel free to connect with us on Facebook. I recommend you join the parent group. There's thousands of parents there who would love to hear from you and ask you even more questions about your views in education. And feel free to follow me. I think we find each other on Twitter, so we always can connect there. And again, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, sir.
I'm your host, Dr. Mike Robinson. This has been Parents and PGCPS, Conversations for the Engaged Parent and Dedicated Educator. This was a Q&A with Mr. Lynn Jackson, candidate for Maryland Delegate District 27A. It's part two of a conversation with Mr. Jackson. Part one is on our website. You can visit the website at www.forceoftherain.net. In the search window, type in Lynn Jackson. Part one of the interview will be there. Part two, this current interview, will be there for rebroadcast. As I see at the end of all my shows, God bless, peace and love.
Shall we?